to the marriage for our blessings, for our good. And so we want to make sure that we live it well. And a few weeks we have talked about different topics, but the main idea is this, is that in marriage we're going to go through ups and downs. And there's so many of us that we are begging and praying God for some, for not the ups and downs of life, but for the beep when life is really not there anymore, right? And so, yeah, you guys like every time I do the pee, I used to say like poo, and so, you know, it was not good. My staff was right, like, no, that's not the sound. I was like, yep, that's what it sounds, the poo. Nope, that's not it. Anyways, but a lot of us, we're just wanting to live life, this like easy life, and God's like, no, that's not how it was intended. We have to go through the ups and downs of life, because that's where there's a lot of learning, a lot of growth, a lot of maturity there. So we have been talking about those things that mature us, those things that changes us. I'm the Pastor Sam, and this is...
Hi, I'm Carrie Hover. I'm a licensed clinical counselor with Cornerstone Family Services, and work here 2 days a week.
Yes, and she has been great. She is great, and she has a lot of wisdom and discernment, and we have a lot of great conversations when it comes to these topics and what God is doing and should do in marriage. And if you're going through something, I'll advise you to contact Carrie. She has a lot of wisdom to impart there. And she's professional, so she knows what she's doing, right?
We'll say we did.
Okay. There you go. Yeah. So today, the topic of today is this, listening to understand. Listening to understand. And I want to start with the Bible, right? I want to start with the Bible verse, Proverbs. There is this verse in Proverbs that says this, okay? A fool takes no pleasure in understanding, but only in expressing his own opinion. I mean, we all have met that person, right? That you meet, and the only thing they want to do is to talk, right? They take pleasure in just telling people what's going on in their life and what people should behave like, and they seem like the know-it-all kind of people.
Don't we all love the know-it-all?
Not me. I'm a smart guy. No, and here's the thing. And when it comes to marriages, we look at this verse and we look at marriage. It's like, man, we can at times determine who is the one talking too much in our relationships, right?
Right, and I think we all get that sense of discomfort when someone's just talking so much that you really are like, do you care what I think or I feel? And you definitely go away not feeling understood or loved for the most part, whether that's in small group, right? A small group setting that can happen as well as in marriage.
Yes, and so the theme for you today is this. Listening involves much more than just lending an ear. It requires intentionality. One of the biggest frustrations in marriage is the recognition that the individuals are different, that we are not the same. There's an individuality there. Marital maturity comes when one is willing to open up their hearts to their spouse and nurturing them by listening to understand.
Mm-hmm. And I think so much of what usually in the beginning attracts us are these qualities about someone that are different than our qualities. And then somehow that gets really distorted where we believe we have to think and act and behave exactly the same. And we forget to appreciate those differences and to be intentional about listening to appreciate those differences.
You know what? We didn't talk about this in the first service, but let me say, we appreciate diversity in any other place. We preach about diversity in any, all culturally and everything about that. Oh, we're all about diversity. And then it comes to our relationship with our spouse, we no longer appreciate diversity.
Yeah, exactly.
Isn't that funny?
Yes.
Like I don't want to go there. Okay, all right, you got it, right? We appreciate diversity outside, but when it comes to the inside of our relationship with our spouse, we're like, oh, no, I don't know about that. This listening not only matures the marriage, but fosters personal growth by seeking to understand your partner's viewpoint before expecting to have your own. And I think that's one of the things that I love about listening is the fact that you can get better perspective, you can mature, you can gain knowledge that maybe you didn't have it before.
Right, and we are no longer a fool if we really are allowing ourselves to gain insight and understanding and wisdom from something that's different than how we think. Some of us are just wired, well, all of us are wired differently, but really in some ways it can be a very sharp contrast, and I think if we open ourselves up to really hearing how someone else thinks, we do gain maturity.
Yes, and I think that's what James was trying to talk to us in James chapter 1, verses 19 and 27. So we're going to spend a little bit of time talking about God's word here and really bringing out the principles so that we can apply listening and understanding in our own marriage, right? And listening and understanding is not a Sam Rosa's kind of thing. It is not only, it's not a Carrie Hoover kind of thing. It is a biblical thing. It's biblical principles that is in God's word that is good for you and I. So let's learn from God's word so that we can apply it to our own lives, right? So here's James writing to the church, writing to you and I, and he says, my dear brothers and sisters, take note of this, right? I love that part because it's like, don't just fly over this here. Pay some attention here. Take time to dissect and see and hear what's going on in this passage. Take notes. Have you ever gone to a workshop and then for your workplace and it matters a lot, what do? You take notes, right? You go to class, you student of some sort. We all are a student of some sort. We should be always learning. So if you're not learning right now, it doesn't matter how old you are. If you're not learning, check it, your heart kind of thing, right? Like you need to be learning. So we take notes. We learn something, we take notes. So James is like making sure you learn here. Take notes. And he says this, everyone should be quick to
listen.
Okay, I'll do that and then you finish for me, all right? Everyone should be quick to
listen.
Here you go. Man, so many of us, we are not quickly to listen, but to open up our mouths and to start babbling.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, or those ears are quick to hear what is going to go through our own filter of, you know, whatever we want to say back.
Yeah, we never just hear. We are hearing, like, and trying to process it right away so that we can respond, right? It's never just listening.
What would that be like to, yeah, be quick to listen?
So, yeah, listen. He never says be quick to be talking. Listen, slow to speak and slow to become angry. I mean, I love that part because I don't know about you, but every time I'm on a debate or on a heated argument with my spouse or with friends or whatever it is, the more I talk, the more flat up I get, and that goes like escalate to anger.
Right, and I think that's key is that anger is one of those emotions, I would say the biggest emotion that really feeds on itself. So the more you're thinking about it, and usually the more you're talking, like it just grows on itself. And so we have to really be careful about that slow to speak because mm-hmm. that does fuel our anger and we would become slow to anger. What would that be like to have 10 seconds, at which we don't have time today to feel like what 10 seconds is, but it's really not very long.
No, that's right. And so slow to speak and slow to become angry because human anger does not produce the righteousness that God desires. One of the things that society have taught us, demonstrated to us, is that anger does not lead to righteousness at all. Every time you see people being angry on the streets or protesting out of anger and so, or talking or you see the manifestation of anger, it never brings justice. It only far escalates whatever the issue is.
Usually divisive, and I love that because it's human anger, right? I mean, God is angry, and we read about that, but however, that's a very righteous anger that does not have any sin in it.
That's right, and we don't have the ability to bring righteousness through our anger. Your anger will not going to fix the problem, and I think so many times in our relationship with your spouses, we think like, if I become angry and I'm show some power, I'm going to win this thing, and it's like, well, you might win, but winning with anger does not lead to righteousness, right thing, or godly things.
Right. If you're seeking to win, you're both losing.
Amen. But I win all the time. No, I'm just joking.
She's not here today, I noticed.
That's right. That's why I said that. I can say whatever I want today. Therefore, get rid of all moral filth and the evil that is so prevalent and humbly accept the word planted in you, which can save you. And he's like talking about, he's actually talking about God's word, right? He's focusing on God's word. We're using the principles of this passage to apply to marriage. But he's like, you need to focus and listen to God's word. Stop talking. Open up the Bible. People ask me all the time, Pastor Sam, I can't hear from God. I haven't heard from God for days or for years. And I'm like, well, do you want a simple way of listening to God? Do you want to hear from God? Open His Word. It is His Word. If you want to hear from God, spend some time in the Word of God. And that's what James is trying to tell us. Spend some time in the Word. Listen. Stop talking. Listen to God through His Word. Because the Word saves us. Right? And then he goes on and says, do not merely listen to the Word of God and so deceive yourself. do what it says. So he's not only saying like, hey, you can only listen. You have to be intentional about this. There is the intentionality of listening to understanding so that you can apply it to your life.
Mm-hmm. If we only ever listen to lectures and never actually try to apply it, I don't think we're gaining anything.
That's right. And even in a relationship with your spouse, if you just listen for the heck of it, not to understand and apply some things into your own personal life or to your marriage, then you're missing something.
Absolutely. You're missing something. Yes.
So he says, do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like someone who looks at his face in the mirror and after looking at himself goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. I mean, this is simple, right? It's not that profound. We all know that. You look in the mirror and you know how you look like. If someone asks you right now how you look like, you can't describe yourself. Why? Because you have looked in the mirror at some point of your life and you know how your face looks like.
I think this is a great, if you want to apply that to marriage, when you know whether you're being listened to or not, a lot of times we're having a conversation with someone, but if you walk away and then all of that information is forgotten or it's not acted upon, I think that's what he's trying to say there, right? It's like,
if you're
intentional about how you look, you don't forget how you look. And if you're intentional about listening for wisdom and understanding, you're not going to come back a day later and be like, what was that we were talking about? Or worse, act like it never even happened.
Wow, that's great. Yes. Good job. We didn't do this in first service.
We did.
Good job. You guys got an extra bonus right here. So, yeah, I love that because nobody looked in the mirror like, I can't look at the mirror and come out and say, well, you know, I have white, I'm white and I have like a lot of hairs and my eyes are blue. And
your worst nightmare, right? You're describing that?
That is my worst nightmare, yeah. Right. I don't want no hair. It's overrated. Anyways, I don't know how to do this stuff, right? But so anyways, goes away immediately and forgets what he says. But whoever looks intently into the perfect law gives freedom and continues in it, not forgetting what they have heard, but do it, they will be blessed in what they do. And I love this because James and God, through his word, through the whole Bible, from Genesis to Revelation, he tells us, listen, do you want to live blessed life? You have to intentionally listen to God's word, understand it, apply it to your life, and you will be blessed. You want to find blessing in your marriage? Listen and understand and apply a few things to your life, and you'll be blessed.
Mm-hmm. And maybe that's a hard, tangible thing to understand, but I think if you're walking through your relationship and you're like, this doesn't feel like a blessing, maybe let's look back and see how intentional I'm being.
Wow, that's great. Those who consider themselves religious and yet do not keep a tight rein on their tongues deceive themselves, and their religion is worthless. Religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless is this, to look after orphans and widows in their distress and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world. So he goes and he focuses. Go ahead and refocus. You can't be talking all the time. You got to restrain your tongue. You got to keep that thing from flopping like a fish out of water, right? That's how my tongue feels like every time I'm speaking in English. It's like, right? It's just not natural, right? It's just not how things go. But so he's like, don't just go on talking. Like, take some time to listen and act it out.
That piece there to really challenge ourselves that if we're allowing our tongues to deceive ourselves, we really want to look back and go, everything I believe, my faith is worthless. Like, to me, that's a huge challenge to say, I really want to be talking less. I really want to be listening more. And I definitely don't want to be polluted by the world.
Yes. And no other word in human language has been misconstrued, mistrusted, celebrated, worshipped, and cursed more than the word love, right? Many define love as an action, and because of that definition, many of us use the best, we assume that the best way to use love, to use this word, to acting on it is by talking, using words.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think, right, to say I love you, to say I love that, I love this thing about you, those really are just words. If we are not acting upon that, if we aren't demonstrating in other ways and actions, and I think that's very, very noticeable maybe when a couple, someone says I love you all the time, but you don't feel loved, that's a those words are worthless.
And one way of feeling love is this. Let me ask you this question. So what if the action of listening rather than speaking is a better way to express our love for our spouse? What if the best action you take in love towards your spouse, it is not talking, it is actually listening?
I think that's a great challenge for this week to practice.
Yeah, I think too. So I was thinking about that after service, the second service, and I don't know why this came to my mind, but most of the time that people come to me with some grievances in their relationship comes in this way. My spouse don't listen to me. Mm-hmm. They don't pay attention to me. They don't pay attention to what I'm saying. They don't take time to be with me, to have conversation with me. The majority of the time, it all starts with my spouse don't give me their ears, mm-hmm. and their attention.
Mm-hmm. I would say it's one, if not the biggest grievance in marriage struggle, mm-hmm. is that not feeling understood, not feeling listened to, not feeling cared for. And I think that if this one action were to be really focused on and be intentional about, you would see marriages change.
Yes. We all want to love, right? We all want to love, right? But do we have any clue of what love looks like or really is like? And I think of love as like a mist, right, all around us. Yet, it's impossible to grasp it. It is impossible for us to take a hold of it. You can see the mist and it's all around us, but holding to it is kind of hard to. And so we don't really know what love is at times.
I think it's one of those things that also is different for every person. We all have different experiences and backgrounds and again, ways of thinking that we experience love differently. So yeah, it would be impossible to define exactly what that is.
So we all have experienced love though, and we know this by our definition, human definition of love, and in love definition within a relationship. And we have experienced it, and we know that love let us down. Love has brought us tears. Love have cured us and make us sick. In the same time, love has brought us joy and enthusiasm and pleasure. But what is love? Baby, don't hurt me. I just ran into my mind.
How about let's define what love is not?
No more. That's right. Yeah, so I think a lot of us wants to define love, but what it is, what I think Carrie and I want to take time here to talk about with you what love is not, right? So the first thing is this: love is not easy. A lot of us think wants love to be easy, but love is not easy. It doesn't matter if you are dating or married, love is not effortless. Laura and I, we are together for 16 years, 4 kids into our relationship, and I would say that these past few years have been the most intense yet. Not because it's been bad, but really good. It's bond. There's a lot of bonding and intense times where we are just getting to know each other and really working things out in order for us to thrive in our relationship.
Yeah, and to speak for blended families, I would think Kevin and I both agree that there's not been an easy year yet for us, mm-hmm. in marriage, and yet there has been a lot of intentionality and growth and learning what love is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and one thing that Laura and I have learned is that love is fighting. Love is fighting. Not with each other, but for each other. And I think that's what I have a statement for you there. Love is war, not against one another, but for each other. And I think that's like we're fighting for one another, fighting for our attention, and fighting for the things from this world that try to muffle our love for one another.
Yeah, and I often will tell couples that once you're in that committed relationship, there's no longer that you and me, your problem and my problem. There is a we problem. And if we're addressing that together, you aren't my enemy. So if I'm talking to you like you're my enemy, there's a problem.
Yes, so it is about fighting against everything that is trying to keep you from thriving in your marriage, waging war against unfaithfulness and raging war against insecurities and faults and judgmentalism and pointing fingers, check marks, is waging war against all those things that keeps us from thriving in our relationships.
Absolutely. And I think once couples really commit to loving each other, they do have to fight those cultural myths, because they will get to that point where they're like, this isn't easy. This isn't the fairy tale. Wait a second. There are things that I really don't like about having to be in a committed relationship. It's just, it's not always fun and glorious and butterflies, as you like to say. And so we have to fight with each other. We are on the same side for marriage.
Yes, and it reminds me of the fact that sometimes we do not know what is good and what is bad, and we need help. I give an example of this. Back in my first ministry, Laura and I lived in the church parsonage, right? And in the church parsonage, they had like this beautiful flower bed all around the house and in the back a little bit. And if you know anything about me, I'm not a flower guy. Like, I don't like gardening. It's just not my thing, right? You don't garden in Brazil where I came from, right? The whole thing is a garden. So we moved in and we were so great. And after a couple of months in there, this one lady is like, "Hey, Pastor Sam, like the weeds are killing your flowers in your plants, in the flowers beds and stuff." And I was like, "What? I thought this was all like part of the thing." And she's like, No. There are some plants, there are some weeds that like muffle, that keeps your plants from thriving. It's like killing it. So you need to kneel down and to start plucking all those things, all those weeds that are keeping your garden from reaching full potential." And when it comes to marriage, there are a lot of things that are muffling, keeping our marriage from thriving, and you need to be like a gardener that's going to go there and pick things up.
I love that metaphor because, just like you might not have known what the weeds were versus the flowers, I think that we can rely on people in our community, whether that's a spiritual mentor or relationship mentor, to help us understand, like, that's a weed, and that's something that needs to be plucked. And you know, we really need to understand that maybe we don't know everything, right?
Yes,
and we do need someone to point that out for us. That's not a weakness to say, "Help me to understand what's choking my marriage here."
And I think that's your role as a counselor is so important, because you are like Donna Earls, who taught me, "Hey, Sam, this is weed and that's flower. This is weed and that's flower. You pick that and that you cultivate." Right? And I think that's why your role is so important, because you have the ability to come into people's lives, marriage, and say, "Hey, this is a weed. You need to pluck it out."
Right. And I will say that that's me helping you and assisting you and pointing those things out for you. But ultimately, you're going to be the one in the garden pulling that out on your own.
Oh, so you're telling me that if I go have a counseling session with you, you're not going to pull my weeds out?
I can't do it for you. Yeah, that definitely is one of those things that's hard to understand. I can't do it.
Yeah, a lot of us, we want to have this beautiful garden, but we don't want to cultivate the flowers and pick up the weed. You know what we want to do? For people to work on that for us. And let me tell you this, guys. Love is not easy, and it's a lot of work, and it's your obligation, my obligation, to kneel down in the darn thing and start picking the weeds out. I can't do it for you.
I think there's a lot of people, including myself, I am definitely an advocate for marriage, that would stand back there and really be that encouragement to continue to help you to identify weeds, certainly give you the right tools on how to pull those out. And yet, yes, you are going to have to put some sweat equity into
making that work. God's not, and let me say this, I didn't say this in the first service, I'm going to say, God's not going to come down from heaven and pick the weeds for you. He will help you identifying the weeds through resources like the church and counseling and so on and so forth, through community. But ultimately, you are responsible to picking up the weeds that are keeping your marriage from reaching full potential. Mm-hmm. You have to work the hardest for what you love the most, and we usually do. And it demonstrates by how full of potential your marriage has become thus far. Mm-hmm. Another thing that love is not sex. Right? Somehow, love and sex have been intertwined like a tangled shoelace. But trying to make love equal to sex will only leave you flat on your face.
Right. This is something that has been terribly misconstrued. Because sex is definitely a way to connect, but people are looking for the fast track, right? How's that easy way to connect? And yet, unfortunately, it does the exact opposite. When there's not a loving, committed relationship, sex actually does the opposite of what you want it to do and leaves you feeling, disconnected and sometimes shame and unloved. And those are the opposite of what we would feel in a loving, committed relationship. Sex is kind of the...
Yeah, and like, call me old-fashioned, but it seems like most of our society is giving sex away these days like free Hot Pockets, right? The pepperoni ones. I like pepperoni ones because they're good. You buy it, you know, you microwave the darn thing for 30 seconds. You know what I'm talking about. You consume in less than a minute and a half. Isn't that how it goes? No, yeah, you're laughing. It is funny, but it is not really, because that's how society is doing. And I said this in the first service. I'll say it here, too, because people are going to be mad if I don't, because people are already happy about it. I was coaching soccer, I was a D3 soccer coach in a period of my life, and we were having people trouble with kids having sex outside of marriage, and we were trying to, like, we're in a Christian college, and it's like, listen, there is a context for sex. It is not love. You can demonstrate love but so many other ways. Sex is not it, so keep it from marriage. And in that, I was like, listen, I know there's a lot of hype about marriage, but marriage is like rain. It's just like rain. Within marriage, it's just like rain. Sometimes it pours, and you're all on it, right? It's like wet all the time, and then there's a drought. And you get nothing.
That's how it is. I'm getting nervous here.
See, it's like, yeah, no, everybody, no, it's overrated. That's not the best expression of love. It's not sex. Sex is an amazing expression of a committed love, not the pathway to it.
Yeah, I think we could definitely have a whole sermon on this, and I think everybody would probably show up for
it. Oh, they would. They didn't hear that.
And I think we do need to understand that certainly sex is a way to express love within a committed, loving relationship. And let's say that commitment is only guaranteed through marriage. And so that really, it does fulfill how God designed sex for us. But anything outside of that really is going to leave us wanting. And I've seen it really carry through in a lot of marriages. When we use that fast track before we get married, it can really just kind of have lots of consequences.
Yeah, you said earlier there's statistics actually outside of on your field that says those who do that outside of marriage actually doesn't work
secular,
as good.
Yeah, secular research backs us up there, backs up the Bible. And it really is something that a lot of people, for some reason, this is a myth that people like to ignore. And so, but there is a lot of secular research that really says the more partners you have, the quicker you do that connection to sex ratio is really going to give you the opposite of what you're wanting.
The third thing is this: love is not self-sustainable. It takes intentionality, right? If love is not completely altering your life, it's probably not love. Love can't exist purely with your own convenience. Love is sacrifice. After all, the ultimate form of love is a reflection of God's ultimate sacrifice towards you and I. Love will cost you something. If you're in a relationship with someone and it's not costing you something, it is not love. And John, 1 John chapter 4, verse 8 says this: anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love. I love the first part, because your knowledge of God is based on how you love people, because God is love, right? And I have a statement here for you. God alone is the source of love, and His character alone is the means by which love must be understood. Yeah. Some of us want to love to just happen out there on our own terms, in our timing, under our own condition, as long as it doesn't interfere with my life, with my personal plans. And it's like, listen, if that's love for you, you don't understand what love is. Love will cost you something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it really is not that typical love song that all you need is love. That's that feeling of love. That's that euphoria. That's that giddy feeling that you get when you're around somebody. But real hardworking love is going to cost you something. It's going to be something that we have to really think about doing, because we're not always going to feel like we want to and feel love.
Yes. So love is not sustainable. And I have learned in my own relationship with my spouse through counseling people that you have to have some personal investment, some cost there. And there's some right fuel that leads you to sustain that love, that leads you to that sustainable love, right? The first one is this, is the character of God. If you don't know who God is and God's character, if it's God's character, what is demonstrated through love, so you need to know what those things are. You need to spend some time with God. So like, if you don't understand God, you don't understand what love means. So therefore, the first step into fueling that love that is sustainable is to get to know God. And there are more other things, but the one we want to focus to you today is this, right? This idea that for you to have the sustainable love, you have to listen to your spouse with the purpose of understanding.
Mm-hmm. I think if there is any message that we make as clear as possible today, is that we need to listen with attention. And I really think that we need to let go of any preconceived notions that we have. We need to let go of any outcome we hope to have out of conversations and really listen with that intent of understanding our partner. Who are they?
Love, life, goes out, escapes when we stop listening to our spouse. And I have a statement that is up there for you, and he's so important, this statement. Sometimes in our relationship, we just need to be listened to and understood, not fixed.
Majority of the time, we need to listen to understand and refrain from trying to fix the problem.
The majority of the time. See, she knows how she's talking about the majority of the time. Yes, we need to, sometimes we just need to be listened to and to be understood, not fixed. And I think one of the fears that we have is that if we share with our spouse what's going on in our hearts and our lives, we are going to be their next project, right? Or, okay, if I tell this to my spouse or to my husband, to my wife, she or he is going to start figuring out how to fix my problems. I just don't want to be fixed. I just want to be heard. I just want to share what's going on. I don't want to be heard.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think when we talk about what listening is, that's that listening with compassion. I'm listening to understand your experience, and I'm listening to hear how you're experiencing something that maybe I see something that could make it better. But again, I have to understand that's just my opinion and my viewpoint. I'm not experiencing what you're experiencing.
So that's the first point in listening. If you want to listen to understand, you got to listen with compassion. And and this idea of compassion is really having sympathy for your spouse, really putting yourself on their shoes and listen from their point of view and allowing you to take on what they are going through so that you can understand where they're coming from.
Mm-hmm. And the second point I would say is listen with flexibility, because
yeah,
we have to be willing to have the conversation go someplace we didn't think it was going to go. If I'm really attuned to my partner, I am going to go where you're going. And that has to include some flexibility in that I'm not looking for a specific outcome here.
Yeah, and I think that's, we lack a lot of that. So once you have identified what your spouse is going through, is feeling, whether it's anger, sadness, or frustration, anxiety, or excitement, then you can, if you're listening with compassion and flexibility, then you're able to adjust to whatever, to adapt to that situation, and respond in the basis of the emotional state that your spouse finds himself or herself into.
Mm-hmm. And then listen without prejudice, because like you just said, it can get uncomfortable when our partner is talking about something that makes them angry, or they're scared, or they're sad. These are feelings that people really don't like to be involved in. And so can I listen without prejudice? I don't need to make you not sad. I don't need to make you not angry. How can I just listen?
And that's the third point, listening without prejudice, right? Everyone has opinion. It is hard to let those opinions go in favor of simply listening to another person. But listening without partiality is helpful when you have opposite stance or opposite attitude towards the same issue. And when you're in standoff, just mouthing out to one another, somebody has to let it go from their preconceived idea and just to allow the words of the next person the person you're talking to come into the air and to feel it so you can understand why and what's going on in their lives.
Right. And that next point, I think, is the biggest challenge, to listen lovingly. So if you're saying something to me that's really difficult for me, like it's hard for me to hear through that anger, how am I listening to you in a way that says, I still love you and I care about what you're saying? And I often tell couples, your face says a lot, right? Mm-hmm. And so that needs to match what your words are saying. And we need to be careful of our body language. You know, those arms crossed, a lot of times even reaching out and touching someone can be a sign of, I'm here for you, and maybe we can reduce the level of anger or offer some comfort in that sadness, by touching a shoulder or holding your hand or something like that.
Yeah, even the attitude itself, like this attitude of, I'm going to stop everything that I'm doing to listen. I mean, I do this all the time at home, right? Laura's talking to me, and instead of really stopping and paying attention, I'm just along with my phone or watching a game on TV or doing whatever I want to do. And she, after, as soon as she's done talking, she's like, she needed a response. And I'm like, oh, what is it? What did you say again? Right? And most wives hate that.
Right. That's that whole idea of, you act like you're listening, but you're really not. And yes, well, wives.
Acting is better than listening, no?
No. No. And this.
what about, like, we go through this at the house all the time. She's like, she's telling stuff and I'm making faces. And she's like, Sam, stop making faces. Like, that's the only face I have right there. You can't change that. No, good job.
Anyway. I think in a lot of ways, it's at listening sacrificially, right? So our face is telling us what I think and I feel, but maybe I need to let that go. And I also need to be willing to pause my TV show or definitely put down the phone or turn off the ringer so that you can actually be completely engaged in what your partner is saying. And quite honestly, you're going to be present, so you're going to hear that and be able to do something with that more than being distracted. We really are not good at multitasking.
Listen, when a guy or a girl stop what they are doing, put it down, hold someone's hand and look in the eye and have a conversation, that means a lot.
Right. That's what wives love.
Here you go, guys. There you go. Thanks, Ryan. Here you go. Yeah, and I think that speaks a lot, and we all have to do that. Guys and girls have to stop, take time, and listen. And the last one is this: listen sacrificially. Your spouse needs the gift of your time, your attention, and your resource. It is hard to take time out of your busy lives and to generously give it to your spouse, but that's exactly what love is about. It's sacrifice. So you must give of your time, of your attention, your resources to your spouse.
And that is knowing God as well, his character, right? Because he gave up his time and his life and his child for us.
And I think that's one of the biggest lessons we get for guys in Ephesians chapter 5, right? Because Ephesians chapter 5 asks us, guys, to love our spouse as God has loved the church. And Jesus has sacrificed everything for their spouse. How much are you guys willing to sacrifice for your spouse? How much are you willing? Are you willing to sacrifice your pride, and humble yourself? Are you willing to sacrifice your TV show or your football to spend some extra time to your wife? And I think it just becomes a bigger lessons that sometimes we don't want to really learn from.
Right. And I say, don't get married if you do not want to do these things that we've talked about today and this sacrificial kind of living. Just don't get married.
That's right. You can, you're great advice. John, it's too late for me now. should I have this conversation like 17 years ago? No, I'm joking. John 15 verses 13 says this: greater love has no one than this, that someone laid down his life for his friend. And if you're not a friend of your spouse, I'm sorry to say that you're missing out. And if you're not willing to sacrifice yourself for your spouse, you're missing. You're missing a lot of the works and the blessings that God, the works of God and the blessings of God to your own personal life. That is what love is about, is that action. And talking is cheap, but listening speaks louder than words can ever do.
Yeah, I don't have anything to add to that. And I encourage people that don't know what we're talking about to post questions for us so that we can talk about it further this week. We're going to be back on Wednesdays. You know, and so if you don't know what we're talking about or how to do that, ask, and we'll do our best.
Yeah, and you know that you can go to the church website. You find a banner just like that. You click on that banner. It's going to take you to a form that you can ask questions. And we, Carrie and I, will come together on, and we will speak, we're going to answer those questions. We don't know. We don't have the power to know who answered those questions. So it's anonymous. That's why we do the Google form. So we don't know who asked. But it gives you the freedom to ask those questions, and we will answer those. So guys and girls, let's love our spouses by listening to understand them today, this week. All right? Let me pray. Father God, we praise you and worship you for who you are. You are amazing, God.